climate and energy bills in critical condition.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. President Obama is looking for a way to win over reluctant senators on energy and climate legislation. He's talking to leaders from both parties who so far have been unable to come up with the 60 votes needed for bills to cut greenhouse gas pollution and push the country away from fossil fuels. Marketplace's John Dimsdale has the story.
Senate Energy Committee Chairman Jeff Bingaman says there's plenty of agreement on encouraging alternative fuels, but to go further and force businesses to cut pollution, that'll take some arm twisting by the president.
I've always had trouble seeing how we got to the 60 votes that are needed to include some kind of limit and reduction in greenhouse gases as part of a bill.
If the government limits pollution, the price of carbon-based energy will go up, and senators are skittish about that prospect in an economy with nearly 10% unemployment. But Trevor Hauser's research for the Peterson Institute for International Economics says passing a climate change bill would actually help the economy.
Right now, you have billions of dollars of investment that's sitting on the sidelines waiting for a clear policy signal from Washington. Unleashing that investment would have a significant stimulative effect in the near term.
Hauser says maybe that's a message the president can use to switch some votes. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
4,000 nurse practitioners are descending on Phoenix today for their annual conference. And there, the mood is pretty good. After decades of fighting for recognition, all the national focus on primary care and cutting costs could be just what the nurse practitioner ordered. From our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Gregory Warner has more.
Nurse practitioners are nurses with a master's degree. They can diagnose disease, prescribe medication, and interpret lab tests, like a primary care doctor. But most states still require a medical doctor to sign off as collaborator.
We have nurse practitioners in rural areas that can't find a collaborator.
Jan Towers is director of health policy for the American Association of Nurse Practitioners. She's fighting state laws to make it easier for them to practice. On the federal level, healthcare reform law does recognize nurse practitioners and creates lots of new primary care positions for them to fill. Nurse practitioners charge less than doctors, and they can spend more time with patients. Patricia Stone is with Columbia University School of Nursing.
Talking to the patient, listening to their problems, that takes time. But when you can do that, you can encourage the person to make changes.
Changes, she says, that can keep people out of the hospital and off of medication. And that saves money. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
And let's take a look at the money in stocks. Share prices are following Wall Street's lead from yesterday, leading downward, that is. The Dow Industrials fell 148 points to 10,293 after that disappointing report on sales of existing homes. The British government unveiled spending cuts. There seems to be some worry that European cutbacks may drag down the economy there. Shares in Europe are down about 0.5% now, and Asian stocks were mostly lower today.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at Vanguard.com.
Shoppers love rewards programs. Hey, you can rack up miles or store credit just for spending money. Businesses also love rewards programs because they can count on customers to waste those rewards. When Los Angeles Times business columnist David Lazarus sees consumer waste, he acts. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Which company's in your sights now?
I've been looking at CVS Caremark. They're one of the biggest pharmacy chains in the country, and they've got a pretty impressive rewards program. You carry a little card with you in your wallet or your purse. Every time you go to the cash register to purchase, they scan it, thus getting a whole lot of really valuable information about you and your purchase. And in return, they say you're going to get 2% back on your purchases. Well, what they do to give you back your so-called extra bucks is they tack them onto your receipt, and this receipt is about a yard long. It's as long as your arm. In other words, they expect you to schlep the receipt around until you're going to use these as a sort of coupon.
Companies often make their rewards programs or their rebates hard to take advantage of. So why do they bother having those programs?
This is what's known in the retail industry as breakage, and many businesses do it. For example, no airline expects you to cash in all your frequent flyer miles. No retailer expects you to send in all your rebate forms. If you did, these guys would go broke. So they're counting on only a relatively small fraction of people actually pursuing the discount. Now, in CVS's case, it's a little bit more insidious because they're promising you a 2% discount. They are giving you the 2% discount, but then they're making you jump through all these hoops to redeem the reward. And I talked to some marketing experts who say this is a particularly consumer-unfriendly way of doing it.
And you also talked to CVS about it.
I did. I talked to their chief marketing officer, and I said, hey, if you want the 64 million people who are a part of this program to actually enjoy their rewards, why are you making it so tough? And he said, you know what? You're right. And in fact, that's something we need to look at. And he says what they're going to do in the future is stop putting it on the bottoms of those yard-long receipts and instead start putting the rewards into people's cards where they should be so that when you flash your card at the cash register, you'll get your discount immediately. That's a reward program.
But isn't that going to cost them a ton of money if the rewards program is actually rewarding?
You would think. They said they gave out about $2 billion in rewards last year, but only a small fraction of that amount was redeemed. So when I asked how can you possibly afford that, they say, oh, well, we'll make it up in volume. I'm not sure about that. We'll have to see how this thing plays out, but at least they're talking the talk.
LA Times business columnist David Lazarus, thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, a vintage street sign that once stood near the New York Stock Exchange has fetched more money than expected at auction. The Wall Street sign was expected to sell for $70,000 yesterday. It went for $116,000. That's a lot. But I'm sure the buyer can flip it and turn a profit because Wall Street prices always go up. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I hope you can join us online. We've got a terrific report on China's one-child policy at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.